Welcome to Spark, powered by Harcourt's Best, a podcast devoted to sharing real estate knowledge, brought to you by Harcourt's Academy.
Are you honest, open, and 100% transparent with your clients? In this episode, we talk to Sally O'Neill, number 38 for Harcourts internationally in 2018. Sally shares her superpower of honesty and openness. Sally also shares her list-to-list strategy. It's a great pleasure to be speaking with Sally O'Neill, who's a sales consultant from Hope Island, the northern Gold Coast here in Queensland, Australia. Sally, it's great to talk to you today.
Hi, nice to speak to you too.
Now, Sally, you've reached the Harcourts Global 100, and in fact, since moving to the Gold Coast in 2013, you've sold over $130 million worth of property. What can you attribute all that success to?
A lot of hours hard work, and I've listened to everything everybody's ever said and done all of it.
You're doing the basics.
Yeah.
So would you say you have a real estate superpower? So something that you think maybe you do better than a lot of most agents out there?
Yeah, I'm very open and very honest, and just keep everything as transparent as possible.
So how does that look? Like, are you kind of really open from the front? So from the moment you meet people, you know, they know who they're talking to. They know they can trust you because you're gonna give them the hard facts.
That's the feedback I get a lot from people. I come from a hair and beauty background, so I'm very used to working with a lot of different personalities. And I feel that I can step into whatever personality is required for whatever level, whether it be a 300 grand unit or a multi-million dollar house. I can adapt to that.
So you're really good at kind of knowing if someone wants, you know, more detail, or if they're more feelings orientated, in which case, you know, you might want to, you know, kind of reach in with stories and be more personal. Yeah. And how do you identify, like, what do you look out for when you're meeting someone to kind of figure out how you could best kind of work with them?
I think that boils down to asking good questions and getting to know the person. I'm always very, very open about myself and my life and my family. And I think that lets people then open up to me. And I listen. So you've got to pick up the bits that are said in between when you're not always necessarily listening properly. You've got to listen to what's underneath.
Tell us a story. Like, any time recently where you felt like you've picked up something like that and then you've been able to act on it, and then the outcome has been some clients that have been just over the moon with the experience that you provided?
I've signed a contract this morning. The property is going to auction next Friday. And the buyers have decided that they were very nervous about auction. They wanted to make an offer. The vendor was very nervous about auction anyway, and she absolutely loves that house. And in order to get the deal sort of across the line, it has to be unconditional prior to auction. So I was very open with them all about that. But it's a family buying it that are a really lovely family. And I explained all this to the vendor. And now she wants to sell that to them because that's part of it. That's part of who, you know, they are.
And how did you kind of form that connection? Because, you know, so often buyers and sellers can almost seem like adversaries. You know, one's trying to get the highest price, one's trying to get the lowest price. How did you really bring them together so they saw each other as people?
Because I talked about the family and the kids and the discussions that we'd had. So I talked to the buyer about the owner's feelings about the house and how they'd looked after it. And I spoke to the seller about this family and how it's their first purchase in the Gold Coast and how, you know, how it'll impact on their family.
You really just painted them as people.
Yeah.
The story is that you fell in love with real estate early. It was an investment property that you purchased back when you were 20 years old. Tell us about that property. How did that whole experience go? What made you fall in love with it?
Well, it's actually a bit of a funny story. In my hometown, there was a marina development, so it was actually a waterfront property, which is ironic because that's what I tend to specialise in. It was an apartment, and initially it was off plan. So I went to buy this apartment, climbed up the scaffolding, signed the paperwork, and I went home and my dad went ballistic. And he said, "You can't buy something off plan." So I pulled out. And the real estate guy rang me and said, we've got one that's not right on the front in the water. It's one back that somebody wants to move to the one that you had the offer on. Would you look at theirs and consider buying it as a second owner? So I went and saw that, and it was nice. It wasn't as good. It was a little bit cheaper. And Dad was comfortable with that, so I bought that one. It tripled in value over 3 years, but I think it would have quadrupled if I'd have bought the front one.
Would have, should have, huh?
Never mind. Daddy cost me a few quid there.
Yeah, I should bring it up, you know, how much he owes you.
Yeah, I think I might owe him a bit more though, so I better not.
So what was it about real estate that really kind of caught your attention even back then?
It was a client, actually. It was a client in the salon who had said to me, whatever you do, I set up my own business very young. I was 19, set up my own salon. I've always been very driven. And he said, whatever you do, you're making good money, buy property. And so I did. And then from that salon onwards, I opened several others, but I always bought the building. And to this day, I still own some of those buildings. That's been a good long-term thing for me.
Yeah, a bit of a nest egg.
Yeah.
And it's good too, because it's really given you that picture of what it's like to be a buyer and a seller, you know, before being the professional in the middle.
Yeah, and we've done myself and my husband have done plenty of renovations and development, and we used to manage our own rent roll in the UK, so we've had a few fingers in a few things. But I think I'm a real visual person, so for me, investing in property, you can always touch it, you can always see it. I don't feel so comfortable with the stock market because it's not real to me.
It's more just numbers.
Yeah, and it can go up and down. I know real estate can go up and down, but I feel it generally comes good.
From those early lessons to where you are today, have there been moments along your professional career where you've just thought, hey, there's a better way of doing this, and maybe some changes you've put in place or different approaches that you've taken over the years that you've really seen have paid off dividends?
I really believe in education. And I really believe that nobody knows everything, ever. And I think that you've got to continue to re-educate yourself all the time. And the world is changing at such a fast pace now that it's keep up or get out, I think. So that'd be my biggest thing that I, even when I was a hairdresser, I constantly attended every seminar and training I possibly could, and I've continued that in real estate. I will attend anything I can, because if you can just pick up one thing from everything and implement it, eventually you've got a lot of good things.
I think you mentioned a key point there about the implementation. You know, so many people might go to seminars and conferences, great ideas, take 1,000 notes, and then put their notebook in a drawer. How do you actually make sure you're implementing those ideas that you're finding?
I usually at the end, like I went to ARIC, so at the end of ARIC, I rewrote all of my notes into another book, and I'll pick a couple of things that I picked up on, and I'll focus on them, and the rest will be there, but you can't physically do everything that you think you want to do. So I just think if you can focus on one or two things and you go, right, for now, that's going to be what I do. That's one that I add in.
Are you kind of checking in every couple of months to kind of, you know, read your notes again, go over your plans and say, oh, yeah, I said I was going to do this by this date? Is there any kind of like ongoing?
I'd love to say yes, but I'm probably too busy to think like that. So, no, there'll have been another course between now and then, and I'll have picked something else up. I just think you've got to constantly be very aware of what's around. Don't write anything off. I'm quite opinionated, so I try not to only listen to my own opinion, and be very aware of what's going on around you.
Those lessons that you've learned over these years, are there any that you wish you could go back and kind of teach yourself earlier in your career? Any ones that you think would have had the biggest impact?
I probably wish that I'd bought way more property and exposed myself way more financially when I was a bit younger than I did. took even more risk.
Yeah, would that be to gain more experience in different kind of property types and areas, or
no? It'd mean that I'd probably be retired by now. to gain more experience, I don't feel that I hold myself back in that way. I put myself in as many situations as I possibly can, and I try and absorb something from everybody. I think you can learn from everybody all the time. And for me, the biggest thing is accepting change. When change comes, don't try and stay the same. Change with it or before it.
Kind of like riding the wave of change rather than trying to...
You've got to do it. Just do it. Whether you like it or not, if change is imminent, then go with it.
So where do you see this next year taking you? Do you have any kind of plans to grow and expand or to try different things?
Well, my associate is at a level now where he needs to be developing into more of his own agent. So that's one plan. We'll probably bring in another administrator to work under that and maybe another team member as well.
Okay, yeah, just grow that team. So what about lead generation? What does that look like for you now? Is it mostly repeat and referral business, or are you still going out and...
I get a lot of repeat referral business. I get a lot of business from the people just that I meet at open homes, and I'm very good at converting that. And we have what we call list to list process. And I try and, there's about 10 points on list to list. I try and do most of them for each listing. It's not always achieved, but we don't do too much cold calling, completely cold. Most people in my marketplace, if I haven't met them, they know I am because they've had a flyer every week.
Gotcha. Tell me more about this list-to-list process. Is this like a checklist of, for every listing that comes on, you're doing a set thing for each and every one? What are some of the top things that you think you just, that make the most impact that's on the list?
Because time's an issue for me, so it would be to call or door knock all around a listing. Flyers all around a listing, just listed, just sold, invites to open homes, a market update in between, and results at the end around that listing. When somebody else lists a property in my area, I will write to that vendor and say, congratulations, can we help you find a house?
Oh, because you know they're going to be buying elsewhere.
So we just constantly try and keep the communication open with as many people as possible.
Definitely. And I can see by driving more and more people to your open homes, you're getting them face-to-face with you so they can meet you, they know who you are, they learn how you are, so that you're already building that trust and rapport.
Yeah. And look, I get that a lot at an open home. I had a guy last night who said, thank you for being so open and honest. And that was an open home for an auction. We discussed other sales in the area, other properties, the area in general, the schools, who lives in the area. It's an area I live in myself. So I think that openness, I am very, very open as a person, and I think that people see that.
Yeah, it seems to be, across the people I've been talking to with this podcast, it seems to be pretty standard that everyone says, I'm just myself. You know, I'm open, I'm honest, and I'm myself, because people know when they meet you, they know if you're honest or not. Finally, Sally, any words of advice or anything you'd like our Harcourts team to do before we let you go?
I think the biggest word of advice that I could give anybody from coming from another agency to here and how I was there is don't pay any attention to what anybody else around you is doing. Run your own race. Don't focus on realestate.com and what listings have come on, because it just makes you cross when you missed one or you didn't even know that they were going to sell. So I look at realestate.com very rarely. I'm always aware of what's on the market, but I don't dwell on it. And if something happens that you think, oh, gosh, I should have had that, move on straight away. Just put it to the back and carry
always
on.
Look forward.
Yeah. I just try not to beat myself up, but I don't pay any attention to what anybody else is doing. I just do what I'm doing.
Run your own race.
I don't listen to what anybody else has got to say about me and because if I did, I'd probably sit in a cupboard with headphones on.
Yeah, you got to have thick skin, don't you?
Yeah. I read it all before, so... I think running your own race is really important and not worrying about what everybody else is doing, because it absorbs so much of your energy and it stops you from being who you really are.
True. You're always looking outwards rather than just, you know, focusing on what you can control.
Yeah. You are who you are, and accept that and get on with it.
Well put. Well, Sally, thank you so much for your time, and good luck in the future with all your success.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Tim.
Thank you for listening to the Spark Podcast, brought to you by Harcourt's Academy. If you liked what you heard, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. And remember, knowledge is power. Knowledge shared is power multiplied.